from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Competitor. This is one of my favorite stories.
Competitor. I got to be
well-rounded.
I need a coach who's going to push me to win a game. I need to win a game.
Look, there's a time and
win
a place.
The game.
There's a time and a place to be that guy. But we were losing so bad. We were down like 40. And I'll tell you what, it was a St. James team many years ago. Okay. We're down 40. We're literally have 2 points on the board. All right. There's like 30 seconds left. We have a kid trapped in the corner. Trapped in the corner. The kid's pivoting. The other coach calls timeout. And I look over down the bench and I'm like, what are you doing? We're down 40 in the fourth quarter with like 30 seconds to go. So I put my hands up in the air. My wife's doing book. I put my hands up in the air and I yell to my kids, don't come to the bench. Stay on the court. Stay on the court. The referee's like, Yeah, why are we calling timeout? Like, you're rubbing it in, the other team. Stay on the court. So everyone stayed on the court.
Wait, a guy called a timeout up 40?
And they ran an inbound play to knock off a three. And the kid was coming down the line like this with the threes.
That's next level.
And my wife jumps up and was like, hold up, buddy. We're the D team. Relax here.
Like, oh, that's next
and
level.
And one of the parents was furious.
That's next level. I see. I would have fought somebody.
That's what I'm saying. That's called rubbing it in.
But that
this
is
many years ago.
You can snitch if you want. But that,
I don't know
that
who coach, the coach
I need
was.
I need to figure out who this coach
but there
was.
There was a couple parents that were not happy, and I agree with them. And then at the end, you know, you're shaking hands. And I go, what are you doing? I literally said, like, what are you doing? Dude, you're up 40. The game's over. Come on.
So yeah,
it's time for you to do the lead.
That's teaching kids the wrong things.
So as the 6'5" says, Shaq's getting a huge action to see why you're basketball.
That's pretty funny. But you know what? I'm also an 11-time champion. So when I have talent, I win.
Oh,
11-time
champion.
Talk about this all the time. When you have talent, you win. When you don't have talent, you just got to make the best of it.
I tell you, that's where you got to elevate.
My girls team didn't lose a game for like 4 years. So it depends on the roster.
What did you learn with that?
What I learned with that?
Yeah.
There was times that I had to knock down some of my best players because they were showboating. And so it's like, no, come sit on the bench. You don't rub it in because we're going to be on the other side of a big loss one day. You want to win and lose with grace and dignity. All right? There's more to learning than just the scoreboard.
Crispy on YouTube. Shetty Hashkey.
Trust me, I've blown many a game that I
possibly.
About.
Now people are coming down to Margaret Bonte to show quitters blame coaches. No, I don't want to be in an environment like that. Was like, hey, look, we're okay with losing. So, like, I had a moment when I coached the JPD, Junior Player Development Program for the NFL. We were holding camps in Washington. 1 year was Steve Bluford running the program. Uh-huh. 1 year was Kip Peralta, Coach P from Reardon.
Yeah.
He was running
Ken's
the program.
Ken's a great guy.
So
great
I was
coach.
Coaching. I forget who's the head coach with me. I was his assistant. So we had a team. We're the 49ers. There was like the Panthers. There was the Saints. There was the Raiders.
Cool.
It was really cool. It was eight teams.
Yeah.
And I remember, you know, it does feel good when you coach up a kid. So you're teaching them the diamond technique to catch a football.
Absolutely.
And early on, we had one dude, this dude named Alex. He was our quarterback. He was everything. He was like our star. But around him was like, oh, boy. I don't know. When the last week comes around and we got to scrimmage everybody, I'm not sure how well we're going to play. And I had Big Jerry on my team. Remember Big Jerry used to work the clubs down in the marina?
Oh, yeah.
Big Jerry. So he was on my team.
A large human being.
Yeah, he was a large human being then. He was 13, 14 years old.
Oh, my goodness.
You know what I'm saying? So he was on my squad. So, no, he was he 13? He was probably 12 or something. So I had this one kid named Brian. I'll never forget his name. White kid, slow as molasses. Could not catch a cold.
So he had the disease, white man's disease.
The white man disease. But by the time we were scrimmaging, he hit me. He hit his out route, caught it with his hands with the diamond technique, and I got so amped up. I was like, that's what I'm...
That's
we went undefeated. So that was fun.
Yes.
That was fun. I miss my calling and coaching. I did.
Now we're getting a little deep here, but when you see a kid struggle for a long time, and you put your arm around
them,
and you're like, hey, look, your time is coming. Trust me, it will happen. And then they're struggling, and then they finally succeed. That is better than anything. It's like, that is the whole point of giving back and coaching, is so that those little memories and those little tiny victories for that little child, now that kid has confidence in so many different walks of life. That's what youth sports is about. Not about trophies.
So you're not Brian Flores is what you're saying.
Well, it is.
I'm just a man. What did he say yesterday? I'm just a man. I make mistakes.
He didn't even apologize.
It was the fakest thing
he
ever.
He didn't even apologize. 707 Sydney Mobile text line. Tuck and cheek. I don't think Joe can complain or say anything about Kerr's rotations no more. That's a three.
There's a big difference between the professionals and
Steve Kerr.
My St. Cecilia's gold team from 7 years ago didn't win a game for three years.
Honestly, YouTube saying, Brian Burke saying, that's me. That's me. JPD all program. That's not you, Brian. That can't be you. The Brian that I coached up in JPD
The
49ers. That can't be you. That can't be you. We went undefeated. We won. Dude, we were sick. We had a great lineman. I was getting the team hyped. This is what I call it a coach.
So maybe
man.
You missed your opportunity to pull a Mike Shanahan and go from offensive coordinator all the way up to head coach your own team.
I should have been. It's never too late. It's never too late. You never know when they'll fire
me. Well, you're
going to
be coaching your daughter in something.
I'm going to stay away from that.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to stay away
from
that. You're listening to 95.7 Game. I'm going to be humble with this one.
KGMG,
FM, and AC1, San Francisco, Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app. I'm going to stay away from that because I will coach my daughter harder than anybody, and I don't want to do that. I don't want her coming back home hating me because of the way I coach her. I'm staying out of it. I swear to God. I am staying out of coaching my daughter.
It's hard to coach your own child, and I heard from a great individual that said, either your son or daughter has to be the best, clear-cut best player on the team, or the worst. Anything in between, and you're constantly double-thinking every decision, where they're playing, how much they're playing, how you're coaching. It's really hard.
I'm not doing it.
I think it's really hard to coach.
I'm not doing it.
My dad coached me in everything, and our relationship was strained for many, many years.
See?
And my mom, and it was just, there was a lot there.
See? There you go. So I've been trying to explain that. I understand
but
how
also,
it is. I've covered a lot of high school games. I've been around a lot of CYO programs. I'm not coaching my kid whatsoever.
Can I also say this, though? That being said, I wouldn't trade it for the world, because every one of those memories I have with my dad, I hold so like in my heart
great
to this
memories.
Day. No, dude, like
but
I wouldn't
you know
trade
what?
It for the world, because I know that
what?
He loved me, and so many other dads, because of whatever reason, couldn't volunteer, didn't know enough about the game. Like I wouldn't trade those time together for anything.
That.
And you will one day do that with your daughter.
Nope, I'm not coaching my daughter. I'm going to sit in the bleachers, support the coach, support her from the bleachers. That's just a sticky situation. I need my daughter to be like, I need to pick her up. If she goes 0-for-4 playing softball, I need to be there to put my arm around her to go get ice cream after. As a babe, it's okay. It's okay, baby Chaz. It's all good. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be on the sideline, and I'm going to be there for support. Come on, Chaz, let's go. Here we go. Coaching is a different ballgame.
Chaz, Mike to Ike, step into it. Don't step into the bucket.
No, because because
step right back at the pitcher.
No, well, it's no, seriously, in all seriousness, there's a lot of, like, I see a lot of kids who resent their father when they're talking to the bleachers,
no,
or resent their mom when they're talking to the bleachers. And I'm like, I'm not going to put my daughter through that. There's a coach for a reason. I'm going to be the parent. I'm going to be one of the parents giving out the fruit snacks after the game. Anybody need a ride? And I'm stepping back.
Because I know myself. My daughter went 0 for 4.
But seriously, it's discipline knowing myself. Because if I'm coaching my daughter, you got to run that out, man. I'm not going to be that guy. I need my daughter to love me for life.
Every parent says that. You're going to be there and you're going to be doing it. I just know you.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not. Not coaching. Not coaching at all. Not going to do it.
Every parent coaches from the sidelines.
Nope, not going to do it.
Get it, Timmy! Run!
Not going to do it. No. All right, we'll do Walking Back Wednesday on the other side. Plus, we'll qualify somebody for breakfast. Jaylee Chan, 8:30. Matt Spiegel at 9:20. We'll do all that coming up on the other side. Brought to you by Floor & Decor.
California, and it's plain to see, can't change me because I'm gonna be a roaster for life.
Best rap verse ever?
Best what?
Rap verse ever?
It's in my top five. It's in my top five. Let's rap verse.
So this is my part of my playlist. For those that are just tuning in, Kirk Cousins put out a playlist for his birthday the other day. Yesterday we did Sam's playlist. Today is mine. And I picked a lot of different stuff. So I think we've done Tupac. We've done Simon and Garfunkel. And now we've done Notorious B.I.G. You got to mix it up a little, man.
I'm waiting for that verse to kick in.
I know V is just waiting.
I'm waiting for that verse.
He's methodical.
Waiting for that verse to kick in.
But in dangerous.
The meantime... 6-5 Oaks. Easier said than done. Once you see some of the parents that volunteer, they're just label us notorious. Oh. They're just label us notorious.
He comes so sick on this.
How to get the clean version of this?
I know. I'm glad you did.
High off we did oxygen. I'm scared to rap it. I don't even want to do it.
Yeah, back off this one.
I'm going to leave it alone. I'm leaving alone.
So-called beef with you know who?
That verse is one of Biggie's best verses.
It's like he never left a breath the whole time.
Right. It was so good.
I don't know if it's number one in terms of best rap verses of all time, but if an alien came down to Earth and was like, explain to me rap, I would probably play that verse. It'd be on a short list.
I'm looking at some stuff here. All right. 888-957-9570. We'll talk about the worst teams in professional sports history. Because God knows, like, is there any takeaway with the Giants yesterday? Patrick Bailey's on the IL, right? Oblique injury.
That was. I don't know how legitimate the oblique injury is. I don't want to pretend like they're making it up. The guy was clearly having horrible at-bats for weeks on end. So if he is indeed seriously injured, I wouldn't be surprised because something doesn't look right. I just, he's not driving the ball. He doesn't have any balance in the swing. He was like a one-arm swinger. So I don't know what was going on, man. And clearly, batting from the right side against lefties has not been good at all.
So I'm looking at these texts here. We're going to walk it back Wednesday in just a second. 707, Xfinity Mobile text line.
Okay.
Dad coached me in baseball story. Like Shasky said, got to be best or worst. 11-year-old, I was the best on the team. Practice before playoff game, my dad did not let me take batting practice because he said I didn't need it, and other players did. I went 1-for-4 when I would go 3-for-4 normally. We lost. That was the last time my dad coached me. I fired him. Can you fire your dad at 11 years old?
Yeah, you could. I think where it gets difficult and for a lot of parents is, let's say you're not coaching, and right. The people that you see that are volunteering, you think that you maybe know as much as them or whatever, or you have a car ride home with your son or daughter, right. And they're struggling, and they go to you, they go, Dad, I need help. You know, like, can you help me? And they physically ask you to help them. I think that's where it gets tricky, you know? And if you know enough, then you try to help them. If not, then you try to find the resources of someone who can help them.
Yeah,
you know, that's what good parents do.
Yeah, no doubt.
You want to see your child have a smile.
No doubt. That's why I'm a smile from the top of the bleachers. Smile. I'm gonna be waving pom poms. I'm gonna be the fun parent. I'll be leading the chants, leading the cheers, having fun.
And what if they go winless for 3 straight years?
Well, it's gonna be a problem. It's gonna suck.
He's hitting that transfer portal.
Yeah. Well, my kid's doing something, right? It's like Jack Parkman with the Indians.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, yeah, we're. Oh boy. Yeah, I don't know if that's gonna work out. 3 years. Go 1 year without a win. Yeah, we're out. I'm actually excited about the Giants. I was so excited about the Giants yesterday that I switched over to the Democratic National Convention. That's how bored I was with that baseball game. I started watching politics. What the hell's going on?
What'd you have? A truly?
And then of course, I popped on the NCAA, and first time ever, Coach Hill has the best recruiting class in the country.
I was searching the internet last night, and I came across that Jerickson Profar home run, and then I found out, Aaron Banks might be out for an extended period of time, and he's probably going to be put on the PUP list.
Yeah.
What the heck?
With the little finger. The broken finger. And no Ricky Pearsall. He's not practicing this week. Hufanga's going to hit the practice field next week. He's probably not going to be ready for Week one.
Does it feel a lot, how do I put this?
It doesn't feel right.
Does it feel a lot like the 2018 season where as things started to progress early on that year, like Jerick McKinnon got hurt and they didn't really have any pass rushers and you could see there was, now this team's way better than that team. But in terms of feel and vibe, and there's so much expectations, it almost feels impossible to live up to them. There's a lot going against the Niners right now. You know, like this Brandon Ayuk thing, and I saw what Mark Willard was saying yesterday, and he's just exhausted like we all are. Like, get on the bus and let's go, or not. Like, well, pick a side, dude. I'm tired of it.
Maybe it's not all on him,
though. No, I'm not saying it's on him. It's on both parties. But, like, get this thing done.
Yeah, no doubt.
We're like, 17 days away from opening day. Like, figure this out. I'm hearing DeSean Jackson talk about Trent Williams.
Yeah, did you pull that sound up? Did you pull the sound? We sent it in thread. DeSean Jackson was on... what show was that on Fox Sports 1 with Emmanuel Acco?
One of the many talk shows.
Shady McCoy. And he basically said, Trent will be back soon.
Great. I mean,
here it is right here.
I don't think we need to panic so quietly. I just was on a phone call with my boy Trent. We call him the big boy, man. You know, he's the gorilla, man. He's working out. And when I say he working out, he in that gym, man. So, and you know what? A little insight. You know, I don't want to talk too much, but I'm going to give y'all a little something, man.
A little something.
They working on something, man. I think they're going to make it right for my boy to come in there, man. He might be showing up a little late. You know, he got some fines and some fees he might have to take care of. But he going to be there, man. So, you know, for the Niners fans, it's going to be all right. So, y'all take it easy. But honestly, man, he'll be there shortly.
He'll be there shortly. That's from DeSean Jackson on Speak on FS1. So, he's made his television debut. As a podcast with Shady McCoy as well.
If you were a fan of another team and you were looking at the Niners as one of the teams that you're going to have to get through, wouldn't you view the situation of this offseason and this totality and be like, wow, there's a lot going on with the Niners? Not that they're a garbage team by any means, but they got a lot to overcome.
They seem vulnerable, but I think other teams also know that they've been a class of the NFC, so they're not going to take them lightly no matter what.
No, I don't think they're going to take them lightly.
And they're seeing like, boy, they don't – what's going on over there? I guess that's the disease of, you know, having a lot of success here. Now, what is the Niners' win total? What is their win total this year? Because I know the Bears are 8.5, and I'm thinking about taking the over on that. I'm a little skeptical because the back end of the schedule's tough. They got a lot of division games, but that defense looks really, really good. And they've been trying to get pass rushers left and right. But, wow. What's the Niners' win total?
Oh, their over-under is 11.5 right now.
See, I think I would take the under on that. I could see the Niners being 11-6, 10-7. To have a dream seat, can they go 12-5?
Really quick, just for some reference, the Chiefs also 11.5 over under, Eagles 10.5, Ravens 10.5, Lions 10.5, Bills 10.5, Bengals 10.5, Cowboys 9.5.
Well, I saw it circulated, depending on what the sports book was, Andy Reid, every year he's been the Chiefs coach, has exceeded the win total projections.
So what's the Chiefs again, 11.5? I can see them winning 12 games.
I mean, let's just call it.
They'll dominate that division.
Anything less than a three-peat would be a disaster for the Chiefs.
Yeah, I think they're going to.
In terms of our perception is they're starting their season in the AFC Championship game. Somehow, some way.
Dude, they look even better. That's the sad part. And you know, again, we talk about 2019. Now, you guys before the show were talking about, you know, if you could take a play away, right? If you could take one play away in your lifetime, what would that play be? Now that I think about it, that play for me, the play I would take away, 3rd and 15. I would redo 3rd and 15 in Super Bowl 54.
So how does that change things? What's the domino? What's the butterfly effect after 3rd and 15?
So after 3rd and 15, Kansas City is punting. They're punting down 20-10 with 7 minutes of change left. The Niners, in my opinion, are going to run off about 3 minutes of clock. All right? They're winning that Super Bowl. The probability of them winning that Super Bowl by forcing a punt on after 3rd and 15.
Probably right.
They're winning that Super Bowl. So the butterfly effect is the Chiefs don't go back to the Super Bowl. All of a sudden, the Chiefs go back to the Super Bowl. Say if they did, hypothetically, everything mm-hmm. else plays out the way it did mm-hmm. the next season, and they lose to Tampa Bay. That's back-to-back Super Bowl losses for Kansas City. So then by the time they get back to the Super Bowl against Philadelphia, that pressure of winning that one Super Bowl, all of a sudden, there's a lot more pressure. There's a lot more chatter about Andy Reid not winning the big one. All of a sudden, Shanahan has won the big one. All of a sudden, Shanahan is a lot looser.
Is Jimmy still here?
Well, if Jimmy's here, the dialogue about Jimmy's completely different.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, everything changes. So if that was a play I would change, it's not the Roger Craig fumble, even though I would love to change that in the NFC Championship game against the New York Giants when the Niners were trying to three-peat. It's not Richard Sherman tipping the pass in the back of the end zone against Michael Crabtree.
Malcolm Smith.
It's, yeah, you know what I'm saying? It's 3rd and 15 in the Super Bowl.
What about the fade to Crabtree with Jimmy Smith?
I would just change that whole sequence. That whole sequence is a disaster. By the time I got to fourth down, I was like, hey, you got to throw. Like, I don't know.
You owe it to yourself to run Kaepernick or Gore one time.
We were going to run Kaepernick on a third down, but they had to call a timeout because of delay game. I would take away 3rd and 15 at Super Bowl 54.
Wow, that's the one.
That's the one. 3rd and 15. I think it changes that game. I think it changes the course of NFL history. I think it changes the way we see Patrick Mahomes right now. I think it changes the way we look at Shanahan. It changes everything in the NFL. It alters the history of the NFL over the next 5 years if you take away 3rd and 15. Kansas City's punting.
That's the part for, like, as I defend Kyle Shanahan, not just to you like, we're talking about certain late-game situations and things like that. Just in general, when I defend Kyle Shanahan, I think the margins are so razor-thin that it's easy to be like, he's an idiot. Oh, what's he doing? He's a choke artist. And it's like, well, hold up. They've won a zillion playoff games where they were not the better team nor had the better quarterback.
Right.
They've won a ton of regular season games in a variety of ways of out-coaching the opponent, out-physically the opponent. And yeah, there are some things that he wants back. Show me a great coach, and I'll show you a lot of fourth quarter mistakes.
No doubt.
And sometimes the ball just doesn't bounce in your direction. And I think about it all the time. Like, how would we view Jim Harbaugh different if he won that one Super Bowl? Where would Cap be? Where would Frank Gore be? Where would Patrick Willis be?
Right.
But the whole 2019 Super Bowl, it lives in my head because it's such a woulda, coulda, shoulda.
And it sparked the Kansas City dynasty. It sparked them. It changed everything for Andy Reid. Everything. 888-957-9570. If there was one play you could change in your sports fandom, and I like this question a lot, Chasky, I really do, what would it be? It could be basketball. It could be like...
So like I'm sure, fans.
Would you change the at-bat with Felix Rodriguez against the Angels, right?
That's
Scott Spezia.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't flip the ball to Russ Ortiz if I'm him, you know? But whatever. Like, I've talked to A's fans, and the older A's fans are like... Yeah, I would have pitched around Kirk Gibson in that situation. It's like, wow, he was hurt. He wasn't playing. Like, I can see where you're coming on that one. You know, you talked about the 49ers, and there's the whole Roger Craig fumble. Let's not forget, like, Joe wins that one. He might have been not available for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, no, it would have been Steve Young. Joe would have been out for the Super Bowl against the Buffalo Bills.
Exactly.
It would have been Steve Young.
think of how you look at Bill Parcells differently if they lose that game.
Yep.
You know, and so there's a lot that goes into it. Scott Norwood, you know, because that was the wide right game after that.
Yep.
I think about that a lot. I think about how we would look at Seifert differently. I mean, if he wins, he's the guy who wins the three in a row and two of them are on his watch. That's a big one. Giants lore, you know, what if JT Snow plows Ivan Rodriguez and he drops the ball?
See,
and then it's Cubs, Giants.
We'll see.
And Dusty Baker, like
that situation, I wanted them to hold JT Snow because Rich Arroyo was on deck and Rich Arroyo was having himself a year.
Yeah.
And Rich Arroyo, I wanted to have in that bat because he had a clutch gene to him. He seemed like he was a clutch gene. Just hold him. Hold him.
I always think about what if, you know, Matt Morris isn't the one pitching at Chicago and he's pitching at AT&T Park in that series against the Cubs in 2016.
Oh, Matt Moore?
Matt Moore.
He should have never been yanked.
Well,
and in game two, it should have been Matt Moore instead of Shamarja.
Exactly,
you're right. Shamarja was terrible on the road. By the way, we're going to qualify.
And they
Now's the time. All this week, we're giving you a chance to come in and have breakfast with the Roast Friday, September 6th, to kick off the football season. Listen all this week, because between now and 8 o'clock, we're going to qualify two people. When you hear this sounder, be the 10th caller, and the number is 415-523-4652. When you hear that sounder, call 415-523-4652, and you will qualify to have breakfast with the Roast. Breakfast provided by Jack's Restaurant. All right.
One more before we go. What if Steph Curry doesn't go around the back to Klay Thompson out of bounds?
Well, I think the play that you all want changed is the LeBron block. Ugh. What if Iguodala makes the layup?
What if he dunks it?
Well, he was going to dunk it, but J.R. Smith made a great play to make him double pump.
Yeah, I know.
So that is
what if Harrison Barnes hits a shot? What if Anderson Barishaw doesn't play in the first half?
Harrison Barnes.
What if Festus doesn't? And I love him, but what if he doesn't foul LeBron on the 3-point? Well, LeBron was cold in that game,
and he hit all three free throws. LeBron was 9 of 25 in that basketball game. Well, I'll never forget. I'm not going to bring that up. Festus is not going to be hanging out tomorrow. So Festus, I didn't bring that up.
I told you I like him. It's just a play.
I didn't bring it up, Festus.
Just don't leave your feet.
Let's go. Let's hear some people. Cadillac in the town.
What's up, Cadillac?
Cadillac in the town. What's up, baby?
Top of the morning, fellas. How y'all doing today?
Good, man. Good, Cadillac.
Man, my sports moment, and it definitely would have changed.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners, the road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The history of the NFL, the Tuck Rule, baby. Tom Brady probably wouldn't be who he is. The Raiders probably would have won the Super Bowl because they was killing that year. But that in that moment, it changed history for sure.
No doubt.
And they even made up a rule for that play.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're that, right. That's a hell of a play. That's a hell of a play. Let's go to Zach in Redwood City. Zach, what's happening?
Hey, what's good, Bonte?
What's up, Zach?
Still waiting on that NCAA matchup. But, you know, one play that you didn't bring up is the Jaquavski Tart, you know, drop pick.
Oh, my God. Bro, that's a good one.
In his hands.
I would have went for it on fourth down, though.
But you know what, though?
Yeah.
You know what,
before the punt, where they pinned him in.
But you know what, though? You're right, Zach. That play felt like it was the game.
It did.
Because I told Rocco right before the play, before that
Stafford's
drive, I said, Stafford's going to throw one up.
I know.
And literally, I asked Rocco to this day, I told him, I said, yo, Stafford's going to throw one up. And he literally threw one up on first down.
Yep.
Damn,
yep.
Zach.
Yep, yep.
Zach, you'll be waiting on that game for a while. I got LSU just bullying people left and right.
You don't have 30 minutes for my guy?
Recruiting takes some time, man. It's strategic. I had a sick class. I nailed it, dude. I cracked the code.
What if Giambi slides?
He was safe anyways if they had instant replay. 415, Xfinity Mobile text line.
I love how
Malcolm Butler pick. You should have ran it with Marshawn. Like, that's all time.
What
are you doing?
My favorite
meme. And Marshawn is laughing about it on the sideline. He's like, okay.
My favorite meme was it was like Pete Carroll as a McDonald's, a drive-thru guy. And it's him leaning out the window. They had like photoshopped his face. And it's like, would you like me to hand this to you or step back 7 yards and fire it at you?
That's pretty good.
Isn't that good? It's really good.
So and Sherman's gotta, you know face what? After it's one of the great memes ever.
Iconic.
You know what? We had Doug Hutcherson, Marshawn Lynch's agent on when you were out that Friday. They talked about that on their podcast, Politicking, Gavin Newsom, Doug Henderson, and Marshawn Lynch. It's actually the fact that they got Marshawn on the podcast is pretty remarkable. But I think they discussed that play in the latest episode. He teased it because we're going to get into that. And I don't think Marshawn Lynch was a fan of that play call. I don't think he was a fan of that.
It's like a yak. Yards after contact, you can't stop the guy. Like, what are you doing? And then there's the conspiracy theory that they wanted to give the MVP to Russ and not Marshawn. That's why they did it.
I kind of believe it.
Well, you know, one thing that I think about, and this is fair or not, one play that I think for the Warriors, if you're a Warrior fan, like the Danny Green clay play.
Yeah, the Danny Green clay play
lives in my head forever. I don't think Danny Green meant to hurt him. But I did think it was a borderline dirty play, period.
It was. Like, I do too.
I don't think he maliciously was trying to injure him, but it's one of those plays. He's up in the air. I think about woulda, coulda, shoulda. And Clay and Bowman are two guys that I think about nonstop. What would their careers have been had they, not that they got injured.
Clay was entering his prime, dude.
He got injured in the worst fashion.
Yeah. It was the worst way. It was prime years,
man. You robbed a man of his youth.
Oh, this is one. Keeping the faith on YouTube. The sixth play for the 49ers. The Purdy, Tommy John play.
Wow. Ray
Hassan Reddick with the elbow.
I mean, do they beat the Chiefs that year?
I think the Niners beat the Eagles. I don't even know if they beat the Eagles.
I was fully confident
walking into that football game. I was. I don't know why I was.
Would we be able to get out okay if they won that game?
Probably not. Well, we would have celebrated for a long time. We probably would have had our ass kicked, but that's okay. I would have took an ass beating for that win. Oh, man, I would have loved that. I'll be in Philly next week. Thinking about bringing a Niner hat or two. 415-523-4652. Be caller number 10. This is the first of two opportunities in the next 15 minutes to qualify to win a spot for Breakfast with the Roast. Brought to you by Jack's Restaurant. You're coming live in studio. We'll have some fun. We'll do some things with the microphone. 415-523-4652 is the number. All right, we got a couple more here. Brian in Key West. Out there in Key West, baby. What up?
What's up? Good morning, gentlemen. You guys are the best, by the way. You guys bring therapy here all the way down in Key West. And my wife and I are realtors here, so if you're coming to the Keys, definitely hit us up. But the one that stings the most is the Kyle Williams muff punt. That one, I can't get over that. And I think Eli Manning's performance in that game proved that was one of the best performances
totally
and one of the strongest man moments ever. To muscle through that defensive line was... That was epic.
He evaded probably 15 sacks in that game by throwing the ball away. I contend in that game alone, there's the Brett Swain play down the sideline where it's like, what are we doing? There's the Kyle Williams multiple muffs. There's the Ahmed Bradshaw overtime fumble where Bowman rips it out like he's pulling the guitar string. There are so many woulda, coulda, shoulda plays. Alden Smith and Justin Smith and Ahmed Brooks were dominant in that game.
Dominant.
Ray McDonald was phenomenal in that game.
That, I think, is probably the most painful loss as a 49er fan in my lifetime.
Who got knocked out in that game? Was it Terrell Brown?
It was Terrell Brown. They were going for an interception, and he got knocked out. And Tremaine Brock replaced him. And on third down, they pinpointed Tremaine Brock, and Mario Manningham scored a touchdown on a third down.
Ex-Niner.
I don't even really like talk. I don't honestly don't like talking about that game.
I contend that's the worst walk out of a stadium in my life.
It's
in terms of losses.
It's a very, very painful loss in my lifetime. Like you don't really hear me bring that game up.
Vernon Davis scores in the first quarter and jumps on the Lightwell. Yeah, and I'm thinking, we're going to the Super Bowl. We're going to the Super Bowl. Like a 70-yard play to start the game.
Again.
All the vibes were there. The fog was so dewy, like the drizzle was coming down. It wasn't raining per se. It was like drizzling because you know that light rain. And it was like, this is Candlestick. Oh, God.
Again, I don't discuss that game at all. I just don't. I remember, I watched all the Niner games at home that year by myself. And I listened to the Philly Zoo, and I'm going to blame him for this. Because I got the alert from Mayoko that Tegan Jr. wasn't going to play.
Ugh.
And I was going to watch the game by myself again. And he goes, you got to go up the street and watch it with some fellow Niner fans. You got to go up the street and watch it with... And I stood up in this dude's house the whole time, Jake Hutchinson. And they were like, you want to sit down? I was like, nah, I'm good. Like, I'm good. And when Kyle Williams had the second fumble, I walked straight out of the house. I had left my wallet there and everything. Got in the car, drove down the street, and I turned on the radio and Ted Robinson was like, and the kick is good for Lions Signs. We're going to the Super Bowl. It is the most painful loss of my lifetime. It was the next semester, a new semester of school the next day with SF State. Our new semester started the very next day. I walked into I had one class that day. I walked in, I grabbed my syllabus, and the teacher goes, oh, yeah, I would like everybody to sit here. I said, I'm not sitting here today. And I had my pajamas on, and I had a hoodie. I grabbed the syllabus, and I went straight back home.
Did you even explain what happened?
No, I just was like, I'm grabbing the syllabus. I'll see you Wednesday.
That is always my favorite, when people don't realize, like, they're not into the sports world at all.
Right.
And they realize how insane you are from the outside. And they're like, why are you so angry? It's just a game.
Yeah, no.
It's just a game.
I don't discuss that NFC Championship game. It puts me in a very, very dark place. Like it's the most painful loss I've had in my adulthood. It's more painful than the Super Bowls.
It's
honest to God, it's more painful than the Super Bowls.
Alex makes one play in that game, we win.
1 for 13 on third down.
One play. In my head the following year when Antro rolls, like we just come up there. Everything's 7 yards and in. I'm like,
Yeah, that's what he said the regular season game. I remember it was at that game.
He was like, we just play everything up.
They beat the Niners 27-3, and Ahmed Bradshaw at the end of the game was like, to beat it, man, you gotta beat the man. And guess what? We still are the man. And I was like, damn, they are the man. And it was 27-3. And that's what Antro Roll said. You could watch that game. He goes, Kaepernick actually he got in the game at the end of the first half, and he threw a seam route to Mario Manningham to get in the field goal range. But they were like, yeah, we don't have to worry about anything past 10 yards. And I think that was the game Jim Harbaugh basically said, I need to do something different at the quarterback position.
We thought we had to go through the New York Giants that year. And little did we know they would kind of fall off that year.
The Falcons...
The woulda, coulda, shouldas, man. They're all over the place.
I don't want to talk about the NFC Championship game no more.
What if Burford actually blocks and they score a touchdown on that first overtime possession?
Yeah.
I was thinking about that like crazy all offseason.
Let's go to Kurt in Oakland. He's got one. Kurt in Oakland, what's happening?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. This is one play that changed a lot of rules in the NFL where – it was with the Raiders playing the Chargers. I forgot the exact year, but Jamarcus Russell was still the quarterback. And he threw it to Lewis Murphy against the Chargers. And Lewis Murphy had 2 feet down in the end zone in full possession of the ball. But Quentin Jammer still hits him. Mm. And then he falls over and loses the ball. And then they changed that rule to say you have to have full possession on the way down on the ground. And it's like he clearly had full possession at 2 feet down, so he was already in the end zone, in the middle of the end zone, and Jammer still knocked him over, so, even though the play was technically over.
So Kurt,
and they changed the rule because of that.
That affected maybe Dez Bryant in Green Bay, huh?
Well, that happened later on in that year when the Dez Bryant play happened. So, but the Lewis Murphy one was the one that started it.
It started it. Because I remember, didn't Megatron 2, Kurt, on the season opener, Soldier Field, Megatron got called for something like that. He had the ball, but he lost it on the ground or during that process. And they reviewed it, and the Lions went crazy because they overturned the call, and they gave the Bears a win, basically.
That was probably one of them, but this is the one that I fully remember more, where it was like, because it was on Monday Night Football, and that's when they really enforced it.
Got it.
I don't know why that bothers him so much. Jamarcus Russell stinks. It's not changing anything.
You know, it's a good point. 341, Xfinity Mobile text line, Guy McIntyre.
Oh.
The holding call on the Jerry Rice touchdown on the first possession of the game. 7-0 Niners. Changed the whole mood of the game. Even though it was early. Hey, you know what's another? I got another one for you guys. Devontae Smith. When he didn't catch the pass in the NFC Championship game, and Kyle Shanahan, for some reason, was waiting on a replay from the Philadelphia Stadium, Lincoln Financial Field. Just throw the flag. Throw the red flag. Throw it. It was fourth down. Throw it. The Eagle fans were already rattled. They don't catch that. You get the ball at 0-0. Who the hell? Now, there's a lot of ball game left, and I can hear starting. It was 31-7. It was a very close game. Late in the first half, it was 14-7 after they scored. The Niners are going out for 2 minutes. They hit Debo. He almost breaks the tackle. Then the next play, Josh Johnson fumbles with the snap. And, you know, from what you hear is that Josh Johnson just was not ready to play that football game. He was just not ready. Shasky's like trying to be optimistic during the games, but he's like, come on, Bonte, we can still win this.
You kind of have a couple passes.
He was like, and I'm sitting there the whole, what was I doing? Josh Johnson in the AFC Championship game.
And then McCaffrey scored, and the entire stadium sat down. And I go, it's one of the greatest 49er runs I've ever seen. It was. He broke like 50 tackles.
They were shook.
Me and Bonte stood up, and we were high-fiving. And I was like, dude, the sniper's going to get us from the upper row some point, somehow, some way.
They knew exactly. Dude, that was a scene in Philadelphia. And then they started calling the phantom holding calls and the phantom pass interferences.
Oh, the third down one.
The Jimmy Ward.
Yes.
3rd and 7. A.J. Brown. Oh, I thought we were physical. I remember I turned to some Eagle fan. I go, I thought this was the East Coast. I thought you guys were tough. Physical. That was soft. Devin in the Uber. Devin in the Uber. What's happening? What play would you take away, Devin? Devin, what's the play you're taking away, Devin? One play.
The play where Derek Carr got his leg broken, man. I was in the stadium. When I tell you we were celebrating, we were partying. We think we're going to the Super Bowl every year, right? The delusional part of us, we think that. But that year was very special. And the game was already kind of solidified. You know, we were just playing the clock, really. And when he got his leg broken off, I believe it was Donald Penn's missed block. Man, you can hear, I will never forget, you can hear a pin drop. Everybody gasps, everybody, and all I hear is, it's over! And then all of a sudden, everybody's like whining and like in sorrow. Like, bro, that broke my heart. Now my heart is kind of pounding, so that would be the play for me.
You know what? That's a hell of a play, Devin, because I was in the press box for that game. And the Raiders were rolling. They were steamrolling the Colts that year. They're on their way to getting a bye week.
Andrew Luck. Yeah.
Andrew Luck. They were getting a bye week. They're going to beat the Broncos the next week, get the bye week, and probably host the Pittsburgh Steelers in a Saturday night game at the Oakland Coliseum. And I remember because that was my first year of the Afternoon Delight. And my host at the time, Pop was like, you got to get ready for New England.
It was going to be, I felt the exact same way.
It was going to be through New England. Yeah. And remember that? It was like, we're getting ready for New England.
The
we're studying New England.
That Donald Penn gave up all season long.
Dude, the only sack he gave up all season long. Crabtree was out of the game at that point. He didn't really need to throw it because they were up so big. And I remember going to the presser. Jack Del Rio opened the presser. Derek Carr be out for the season. Broken fibula. Like, right away. No waiting, no nothing. And it was like, damn, season's over.
I'm going to throw one in here since we're all these plays we want to change. I got changed the end of that 2003 national championship game between Miami and Ohio State.
It's a good call.
That was game over. It was not a PI. Miami should have won that game. I was
Chris Gamble?
I was 10 when that play happened. I mean, I don't really remember that game that much. I was locked in on Miami at that time. Knowing how that loss just torpedoed that program in the 22-year sense, like, I would undo that play every day of the week.
That call was so late, too. They were already celebrating.
8 seconds. Fireworks are going off.
Yeah, fireworks are going off, everything, and they threw the Phantom flag.
So I was thinking about different dynasties that have happened over the last 40 years or so, 50 years or so, and certain plays that if I took that play out, I don't even think the dynasty happens. All right, and these are just some, and you tell me if I'm right or wrong on some
15.
Of these.
What? 3rd and 15.
Well, that's literally on my list for Mahomes. How about the Kyrie injury? What if Kyrie never gets hurt?
Well, Kyrie in game one, I don't know if the Warriors win that series.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Maybe the Warriors don't win and don't become a dynasty. What about Brooks Conrad? What if Brooks Conrad doesn't blunder that ball at second base?
Game three errors in that game. Pick any one of them.
I know.
Game three.
What if the Brady Vinatieri Tuck rule, right? Because that sparked their dynasty. What about Pujols off Brad Lidge? Are we sure the Cardinals are a three-time champion, you know, in the 2000s?
What about
Brad Lidge, one of the baddest dudes on the planet.
Was it Nelson Cruz in the outfield in game six against
David
the Cardinals?
Freeze. Yep.
David Freese.
David Freese moment, yeah.
Well, twice they were a strike away in that game.
Yeah. What about the Dwight Clark catch? What if that never happens? What if he drops that ball? And then the other one that I had on my list, Dave Roberts in the steal. What if Dave Roberts doesn't get into that steal at second base and he's out and the Yankees go on to win? Do the Red Sox ever win?
I don't know if they win. I don't know, but those are pivotal moments, and that's how fickle it is. That's how fickle sports are. One play can change the course of history.
There's got to be more than that.
Oh, there's a lot more than that. I mean, the 3rd and 15, again, it sparked Kansas City. 3rd and 15 is what it goes back to. Because the Niners are rolling. We're at 95-70 game. Everybody's getting ready to go to a party afterwards. We're going to do the show. And 3rd and 15 happened. If you can, Spadoni, I'm going to put you on the spot. I want you to grab that 3rd and 15, the whole setup to the play. Again, Troy Aikman was on it. Troy Aikman, that whole setup. And when you hear it, it's like, oh, boy. 415-523-4652. Caller number 10. Caller number 10 at Lutman afterwards, after you qualify somebody. I will need some names. I will need some names. Need some names. Caller number 10. Caller number 10. In the meantime, let's get Sam and Hercules on here. Sam and Hercules, what's happening? One play. One play, Sam.
Man, I kind of got to go the opposite, man. I'm going to talk about all the non-holding calls in the Super Bowl against Bosa, Hargraves, Warner. Man, this last season hurt me so bad, man. I'm not even in school. I'm picking up syllabuses the whole year, man.
Mm. You know, you talk about one play that changed the course of history. What about Sean Elliott? Memorial Day Miracle.
That's a great
Alamo
one.
Dome.
Yeah.
Portland was rolling.
Toe tapping. Yeah.
Now, they ended up sweeping that series.
God, that was such an iconic play.
But they were down bad in that game. And you know what? He doesn't hit that three. They're down 1-0. Maybe there's pressure on San Antonio. Maybe the Blazers are like with that loaded roster because they were done after that. They were done. They blew that game and they were never in that series the rest of the way.
It's just so many woulda, coulda, shouldas. I mean, you know,
what if this? This is for Sacramento. What if Robert Horry doesn't hit that three at the end of game four?
I think the
Kings are up 3-1.
And they're probably NBA champions?
Yes.
Probably.
With two games left in Sacramento. You bring up Robert Horry in Sacramento, and it's like, oh, boy. Not Tim Donaghy. Robert Horry. What if he doesn't hit that three? So that's how.
Yeah, I hate to see it.
Oh, here you go.
You.
Have you found that, Spadoni? Look. Oh, boy. This 3rd and 15 play. Shasky, because I was on the edge of my seat. There was a lot of chatter going on. Shout out to Nash Solomon.
Chiefs need some Mahomes magic. Launches down the middle. Hill. Open. Caught. And they get it. Kansas City. The big play. needs to catch his breath on the sideline. The longest play of this Super Bowl so far.
Yeah, I think he had to wait on it. I think it was DeForest Buckner that actually was the one who applied the pressure. But look at that. I mean, if you're Jimmy Ward and you've got Tyreek Hill who runs a 4-2, and he's barreling down on you and the quarterback has time.
So even that was a great call by Joe Buck and Aikman there, Fox Sports. But
don't ever play that again.
I'm gonna go and do some digging, because it's when they set up the play, when Aikman's like, you know, Kansas City here hasn't had anything going right for them, and they need a big play like at the moment. Like Aikman is just on it. He's on it just like the NFC Championship game before the Rams. He goes, you know, Joe Buck's like, you know, what happened? What needs to happen in these big games, Troy? He goes, well, what I look for in these big games, what quarterback is not going to make the mistake? Who's going to stay away from the mistakes? And let me tell you, these two quarterbacks really take their fan bases through roller coaster rides. And it was like, he was on it. Oh, man. Third and 15.
Kyle Shanahan was asked about it a couple months ago during Super Bowl week two.
Was he?
Yeah, he was asked.
I'm not sure exactly what happened. It looked like we were playing his zone defense. It looked like he was able to hold on to the ball for a while. And then it looked like Tyreek got behind us on a corner route.
Someone just asked him. He's like, hey, Kyle, remember that 3rd and 15 play? And that was it. He didn't sound very happy about it.
Whether it's pro sports or baby chess, you will be in the car one day with her, and you're going to be driving back from one of these games, whether it's an NFL game, an NBA game, a volleyball game for her in fourth grade. And you're going to be reliving these moments, and you're going to be thinking about it. And that 3rd and 15, I talked to my dad that night after that game, after you and I did hours of the postgame show. And he's like, you can't let that player beat you in that spot.
Yeah, I'll beat.
And when you're coaching at whatever level it is, you just know there are certain guys in certain situations. Anyone else can beat us. I can't let that guy beat us. And he beat us. It just crushed me.
The omen of the end of the first half was bad, because I went crazy when they didn't call the timeout. I went berserk. I went like borderline insane.
You were justified.
I couldn't even enjoy the halftime show because of that situation. But I remember that 3rd and 15 in the old studio. I was on the edge of my seat, and I had my hands like this. I'll never forget what I was doing. And I'm sitting there. I'm just thinking, boy, get this stopped. They're about to be Super Bowl. In my head, I'm thinking, and I'm not saying nothing to anybody. And they completed that pass, and I said, oh, boy, buckle up.
I think you had a big F-bomb. I think I remember that.
Because there was a lot of chatter going on. Yeah. A lot of chatter. And Spinotti was by himself in the studio. And I think I dropped an F-bomb, and I looked back at Spinotti. I didn't maybe even walk to him. And I said, we got problems. And that rewrote the history. That, like, the Chiefs are not three-time champs.
I know.
Oh, it's making me sick now.
How different does everyone talk about Shanahan with just one Super Bowl? Because it feels like the floodgates have now opened up for Andy Reid. And you can make an argument that if Andy peels off 3 in a row here.
Oh, my gosh.
And 4 overall, he's not that far behind Belichick.
No, he's not.
You're looking up, and he would also have one more than Bill Walsh. You're going to look up, and you're going to say, all right, if you were doing a Mount Rushmore, I don't do Mount Rushmores. That's a Dibs thing, and I don't want to steal his material. But if you're doing a Mount Rushmore of great, it's Lombardi, it's Bill Walsh, it's Belichick, and it's probably Andy Reid.
At this point, yes. Yes. I mean, if he may be up there right now. Well, he may be there right now.
Bonte, given the rules of where the game is, I'm probably taking Andy over Belichick right now.
For this era. And when you think about Belichick, okay, he had the 20-year run in New England. Andy had a lot of success in Philadelphia.
Well, he won with a variety of quarterbacks.
He had a lot of success in Philadelphia. Didn't get the big one.
Garcia, yep. Vic, Cobb, look what he did with Alex Smith. All these guys had their best years with him.
Nah, he's 3rd and 15. 3rd and 15. Wow. Now my soul is injured.
It's time for the injury report.
That really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
I'm afraid it's going to have to be Jimmy Garoppolo that gets it done. And you hear that crowd noise? Everybody going crazy. Jimmy was so rattled. Those final two possessions of the NFC Championship game doesn't get discussed enough. We don't discuss it enough.
I also think
how atrocious it was.
In the same way, I think that Frank Gore had a concussion in the 2014 NFC Championship game against Seattle, January 2014. I think that Jimmy got hit late in that game and he just closing his eyes. He wasn't the same after that hit. Like straight helmet to helmet.
Shut up.
Patrick Bailey express optimism that his side soreness would not lead to a long-term absence. Giants placed their catcher on the injury list with a right oblique strain. Bailey began experiencing tightness in his side Monday night while taking some extra swings in the batting cage. He needs a couple days off anyway, so he'll be back maybe in next week. He may not need more than the minimum 15 days to return, but we're going to see a lot of Kurt Casale. A lot of Kurt Casale coming up. Oh, boy. Giants, they do get a couple wins over the White Sox. They've won three in a row. They're looking for a sweep today, so there is a little optimism there with the San Francisco Giants injury report brought to you by Boxer Gerzer, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What is coming up in the game? Brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. One play. It could change one play in your sports lifetime. What would that play be? I'm surprised nobody's brought up the Immaculate Reception.
Deception.
Yeah, it wasn't a catch. I mean, that's pretty obvious. And the officials were too afraid to call it the other way.
Because Pittsburgh fans were on the field. Literally on the field. You ever watch that football life?
It's incredible.
Right. They were on the field mean mugging the officials saying, I dare you to call that and overturn that catch.
We gotta go.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.